Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Thank you for the invitation to be here at this great meeting this week, but also especially this wonderful night as you close out 24 years. And tomorrow, a new day, 25 years. And it's an honor, Pastor, to be here. It really is. And I don't know if I'm the only true Southerner on the schedule this week, but we got to get past the language barrier real quick. How many are from the South? Hold your hand up if you know something about the South. How many ever had a moon pie? You ever had a moon pie? I'm not a big fan of moon pies, but they make them not far from our place. Moon pies just kind of two graham crackers dipped in chocolate with marshmallows in the middle. You've had a moon pie and a RC Cola. That's what they say down there. I'm really from West Virginia, so I don't have this thing down yet. THANG and kind of help you and all that help you. But I'm catching on. Anyway, I was thinking about just not far from us, they have that big factory there, and they make moon pies, and they keep their secret recipe in a safe right in the middle of that factory. And one time, the factory caught on fire. And I mean, where we're from, caught on fire. But anyhow, and it was just burning leaps and bounds. And I mean, nobody knew what to do. They didn't have a big fire department. They had a little volunteer fire department. They had one truck. And somebody said, well, call down. They said, well, there's no way they're going to go in and fight that fire as big as it is. They said, oh, they'll come, give them a reward. They said, how much you ought to give them? They said, give them $5,000. They called down and said, we're coming. And boy, they started down the road. Woo! Man, here came one truck. It was about a 40-model truck. And it had a couple guys hanging off of it, ladders falling off and hoses stringing out as they came. They came shooting through the gates of that moon pie plant. And they didn't stop for nothing. People were screaming, hollering, stop, stop. And they went right in that fire, busted through the walls with that truck, right in the middle in the gut of that fire. And they thought they'll never come out alive. And they were spraying around trying to save the moon pie recipe. And they sprayed water everywhere and spraying that Cardox and all that foam and everything. And they finally came out. It was over, just smoldering rubble left. But they'd saved the recipe. They came out of there. The truck was about half scorched and boots were melting, clothes hanging off of them. Their faces just scorched. And the TV cameras are everywhere, radio announcers. They stuck the microphones up in front of the captain. They said, captain said, once you know, said, we've got a big check here for $5,000 reward for putting out the fire and saving the recipe for the moon pie. And they said, what are you going to do with that check, that big old check? He said, well, he said, tell y'all, first of all, we're going to get the brakes fixed on that truck. That's what we're going to do. Acts 19, let's stand together. It is an honor to be here. And I thought you ought to laugh a little bit. I mean, I think God's people ought to have a good time. They ought to be glad, we're going to find out in the scriptures tonight. And I was listening to Pastor rehearse all those things. I'm for it. I don't vote here, but I'm voting for it. Y'all eat your Snickers bar and paid for it. But I'm just telling you, I'm excited about all of it. And may God speed you to getting it done. In Acts chapter 11, I talked to Pastor several times, been praying about this. And I just want to encourage you, Acts 11. I just want to encourage you tonight, honestly. And try to be a blessing. Now, if you're visiting tonight like I am, and you're a pastor coming to the conference or a Christian worker, I want you to get in on this because, to be honest with you, all of us, we'd love to have what's going on right here. But as you saw on the slides in 1986, they didn't have any of it. But they had the beginnings of it. And while you're here, dream big. And while I'm preaching, I want you to dream big and maybe pick up some principles out of the Word of God as we preach. But I want to talk to the congregation of the Lancaster Baptist Church. Because as I've gotten to know your pastor over the years, I know that you've worked hard day and night. There'll be people work through the night just to get ready for this conference tomorrow. They'll run off CDs and DVDs, and they'll clean the buildings and vacuum everything up and restock all the restrooms and get the parking lots ready. And what goes on around here goes on night and day. And I know that your pastor is grateful for your labor of love, but I want you to know that we that get to come in and invade your ranks for these 3 days, we're grateful as well. But I want to kind of pull back the veil and talk tonight about the principles that's going to allow you to get things done in the coming year. Especially, it sounds like this year is going to be a great working year. But in Acts chapter 11, we see in verse number 19, the Bible says this: "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." How many like that? A great number believed and turned to the Lord. And we've seen that over the years here. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church." That's the church which was in Jerusalem. Big church now. "And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." I would like to draw your attention, please, to verse 23. I like to read verse 23, my text with me together. Verse 23, would you read that together with me? Ready? "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." I'm going to pluck out that phrase, "the grace of God," and preach on the subject tonight. Barnabas saw the grace of God. When I read that, I thought, what did the man see? And I want you, if we could for just a while, to try to see what Barnabas saw when he came to that church, that young church called Antioch. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for what we've been able to see and the beautiful music, Lord, how our hearts were stirred tonight just in song and even in the announcement time. And we're grateful and thankful for the Lancaster Baptist Church, for its pastor, for his staff, for his deacons, and for all the people here tonight. And I pray, Lord, please, you'll empower me with your Holy Ghost. I want to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for just a while. I pray, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Barnabas saw the grace of God. When I first began to pastor back in the hills of West Virginia, I can remember kneeling in the parking lot my first Sunday, and everybody was gone. I kneeled there and prayed, and I asked God to give me wisdom and power and to help me lead our church and become a soul-winning church. And I had a burning desire to reach my city for Christ. And I was so green, you could throw me out in the yard and I'd take root. No doubt about it. I mean, I had a lot to learn. I was a young preacher. But I had a burning desire in my heart. A small town of Ripley, West Virginia, about 3,000 folks. And I wanted to knock on every door. And by the way, we did do that over and over. And God bless there. I can remember telling our church that I was going to invite Dr. Curtis Hudson to preach for us and help us, help challenge us in matters of revival, in matters of soul winning. Dr. Hudson at that time was one of the greatest soul winners in America. And I remember as I announced to some people and some other preachers, "I'm going to get Dr. Hudson to come preach for us." They said, "Oh, you'll never get him to come to a little church like that. And he is a big preacher and he probably never come." And so I wrote him a letter. And sure enough, in just a few days, he called me from his home in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Never dreamed I'd end up pastoring there. But he said, "Brother Norris, Brother Hudson here. I'm sitting on my back porch making some phone calls, reading some letters. And you've asked me to come to preach in your church." He said, "I'd love to do it." And I remember we set up the date the first time that he would come. Boy, I tell you what, it was electrifying. We had a record-breaking day that day. And we had people saved and baptized. Matter of fact, we had him in our church there in West Virginia every year that he'd come before he got sick. And we had a spirit of revival in our church. I'm not trying to insinuate Dr. Hudson brought revival, but just some of the things he taught us from the Word of God. And it was electrifying our church. And God allowed us to see record growth there in our first church. And these last 11 years at Franklin Road Baptist Church, my church, that God allows me to pastor, we've experienced some of the best days in the history of our ministry. And Pastor talked to you about that. Several times before his death, Dr. Hudson would ask me, he says, have you ever met Brother Paul Chapel from Lancaster, California? I said, no, sir, I've never met him. And he said, well, you need to meet him. He said, God is really using his church to reach the people in that part of California. And I'd never been to California. And as a matter of fact, your pastor, I think, was the first one to invite me to come to California. And I remember that day, the first time I came. I do not remember the man's name that picked me up, but I flew into California and we're driving from the airport and I noticed a sign that said Ventura Highway. Well, you know, I was raised in those groovy days and here I am going down to Ventura Highway. And I thought, huh, what do you think about that? The top was down this man's car. He had on some groovy sunglasses. He looked at me and he said, welcome to the cereal state. I said, the cereal state? He said, yeah. He said, the land of fruit, flakes, and nuts. I thought, and I'm riding with one too, but anyway, down the highway we went, wide open. I was scared to death. And I remember it was about the time I think you were moving into the new buildings and I got the chance to come out and preach. And I want you, Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I remember all of that. And then I just said, I'd say this. I've watched this thing grow, literally grow out of the sands of this desert. And I'm grateful that I've had a chance to come the first time. And when I came, I want you to know that the half was not told at that time. And I just was amazed. And can I say that tonight, as I sat there listening to the beautiful music, again, tears came to my eyes. And I'm outside the box. I'm not inside this church like you are Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I get to come in, and I get to see the growth and see the things that God has done here. And I am just amazed, and I'm grateful. And tonight, I can honestly say that I feel a little bit like Barnabas in this passage in Acts 11, when he was dispatched from the church at Jerusalem to go to Antioch. When he arrived there, the Bible describes his emotion like this. He said, when I got there, he said, I saw the grace of God. Well, what was he talking about? I saw the grace of God. And later, the Bible goes on to say in this verse, when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. What do you mean by that? I'm going to tell you in just a while. Not only that, he said, when I saw the grace of God, I was glad and I exhorted them. And that's what I want to do tonight. Now, by way of introduction, if I could, let's talk a little bit about the grace of God. You know, sometimes you can go to a place and it's obvious that God is working there. There is a certain spirit in the air. You can see the hand of God, you might say. And you visiting pastors that are here, you're here because you feel that spirit in the air. And I'm not trying to be mystical here. There's something happening in this church right here. I was sitting back there this morning watching Brother Christensen baptized people and several came through the water, but I was sitting back there as a pastor myself, and one of the things, Brother Chapel, I enjoy more than anything else is to baptize people. I just love to baptize people. And I remember they didn't teach me how to baptize people when I was in Bible college, and I had kind of learned the heart, never lost a one. I talked to a fellow one time. He just got his church up in the mountains. He called me and said, Brother Norris, he said, they didn't tell me how to baptize people. Tell me how to baptize them. I told him, and I gave him that special formula you use, you know, in the name of the Father. He said, he called me back the next day. I said, how'd it go? He said, lost two of them. I said, what do you mean? He said, just let go of them. They went down the water. I said, what'd you do? He said, I went in after them. Could you imagine that? And you know, I've had some times baptizing folks, and we got a lot of stairs you got to go up, you know, to get there. And we had one lady in her 80s that I wanted to the Lord and was baptizing her, and her knees were fused, and she kind of walked like that. And they were, she's in heaven now. I don't think she mind me saying this, but they were rather large legs, and I didn't know quite how this was all going to work out. And she just got in and she got real stiff. And I put her down to baptize her. I'm going to get back to the message just a minute. Hang on. Put her down to baptize her and her feet floated right to the top. And I didn't know what to do. Everything just kind of stalemate, you know. And I thought, okay, we're done now, you know. You said, what'd you do, preacher? I reached my leg up, pulled him back down, set her up. Spirit of God didn't have anything to do with that, but you got to move on. But I thought about, y'all hurry up, I got to hurry, here we go. The Bible says that Barnabas saw the grace of God. We think about grace, we think about saving grace, and for by grace you are saved through faith. We think about dying grace. We don't know a whole lot about that till it comes time to die. Then we get to singing songs about grace to cross the river. There'll be new grace, you know. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad for that new grace. And we have saving grace and dying grace and living grace, which is divine influence on the hearts of men and its reflection life. And Barnabas saw the effects. I like to kind of define it like this, if I could, in this passage. Define the grace of God like this. We have God's forgiveness. That's salvation. How many thank God for God's forgiveness? All your sins are washed away. Somebody was singing about that tonight. And boy, I tell you what, kind of got my tear bag all mushy there for a while. And I think about how God's forgiveness, anything, God's forbearance, which means when he shows us a little mercy, when he ought to judge us. How many thank God for God's forbearance? When he ought to lower the boom on you, he gives you some mercy. I think about God's fortune. In other words, the grace of gifts that he gives us, like heaven and other things. But tonight I'm talking about, when I think about what Barnabas saw there, I'm thinking about not God's forgiveness necessarily and his forbearance and fortune. He may have saw. I'm thinking about God's favor. I'm thinking about the kind of grace where the hand of God becomes evident on a place, on a person, or a people. I think that's what Barnabas saw. That's what he witnessed there at Antioch. And I want you to write down three things, if I could. That's all introduction. But notice, please, in our passage in Acts 11, first of all, number one, I think I want to talk a while about the preachers of the grace of God. As we look at the grace of God and what was going on there, I want to talk first about the preachers of the grace of God. Can I say tonight, in verse number 20, some of these guys broke loose and they weren't just preaching to Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Notice the preachers of the grace of God. The men doing the preaching here in Acts 11 were not apostles. Their names are not mentioned in Scripture. They were men that had fled Jerusalem because of the persecution surrounding the event of the stoning of Stephen and other persecution. They traveled hundreds of miles to get away from the danger, and they preached in cities that they felt safe to preach in. And up to this point, they had only preached to other Jews and had been scattered in the dispersion. Three cities are listed in verse 19. Commentator John Phillips said this, and I quote, "These were the places where the Christians went to escape the growing hostility in Jerusalem. They were scattered abroad," says the Holy Spirit. Satan overreached himself this time. By scattering the burning coals of Christian witness, he made it possible for fresh fires of testimony to spring up elsewhere. I want you to understand that could very well be what God is doing at the Lancaster Baptist Church as we raise up fruit to his account in the church and see them trained for God and in the college. Please understand that the coals of the fires of revival are being planted everywhere. Praise God for that. When they came to the city of Antioch, a large metropolitan city, about 200,000, some of the bolder men this time preached to the Grecians, the Gentiles, and many were saved. News of this passed quickly to the ears of the apostles in the main church at Jerusalem, and they dispatched Barnabas as an envoy to check it out. Thank God for those preachers that learned some things there at Jerusalem and launched out to do it. And may I say this, if you are a member of Lancaster Baptist Church, that is exactly what's being trained right here as your pastor teaches you about soul winning, the importance of fulfilling the Great Commission and witnessing to your family, to your neighbors, to your co-workers. And Brother Furso heads those soul winning nights up, and other folks help lead in training for soul winning. That's exactly what you're doing, what these men did in verse number 20. You say, well, I'm not an ordained preacher. That's all right. You still got the gospel. Amen. Number one, the preachers of the grace of God. Number two, I want you to write this down, please, the perception of the grace of God. The perception of the grace of God. When Barnabas hit town, boy, did he ever see a sight. Please notice the grace of God on the preachers. Watch how this is described. Barnabas had seen God move at the hands of the apostles. Great men, Peter and John and others, gifted men, great men of God. And he watched them do miraculous things. But these were common men. Again, saved by the grace of God, yet empowered to preach the gospel. Notice in verse 20, the last part, what was their message? They preached the Lord Jesus. That's my message, that's your message. You can say a lot of wonderful things about Jesus and still not successfully preach Jesus. A lot of things have been said about Jesus in liberal churches, yet they don't preach Jesus. Jesus was kind, no doubt about it. Jesus was wise. We understand that. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus loved the little children. But the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he bled and died for our sins on Calvary. And you don't preach Jesus till you preach him on the cross and in the grave and out of the grave. They preached Jesus. Common men saw a great revival break out in that town. It made a name for the Lord Jesus. Here's how it's described. The hand of the Lord was with them. That's what I'm talking about. The hand of the Lord was with them. I guess the first time I ever heard this song sung was down at Brother Bobby Robertson's church years ago, The Unseen Hand. How many ever heard the song, The Unseen Hand? You know, sometimes folks get back there and hear, yeah, that's just kind of something people just sing about, you know. No. There's an unseen hand that moves us along. And the hand of the Lord was on this place helping these preachers. I think of my son when he was little. The parsonage was right next door to the church there in Ripley. And his playground was pretty much the parking lot, blacktop parking lot. Didn't have much of a yard there. And I remember I'd be out doing the work of the ministry, out knocking on doors or whatever, and many times I'd come home and my wife would be out in the parking lot trying to pitch a ball to Joel. And by the way, we ought to make our boys men, amen, and throw them balls and get them out of the cake baking class, amen. And so she was throwing them balls, and you know, he was doing his best to hold that little plastic bat up and try to swing it, you know, just a little fella. And he said, Daddy, come and help me. And I like get behind my little boy about 3 or 4 years old, and I'd put my hands around that bat, and we still missed him. And his mom would pitch him, and we'd hit them balls. And boy, he thought he was doing it. His daddy's hands was helping him. Is there anybody out there right now? I remember when I was just a boy, and Dad was teaching us all how to swim. I remember he'd get us out in the lake, and he'd hold his hands and underneath us, and I'd kick my feet. And in case y'all wonder what my swimming trunks were, I don't have any because I tore the knees out of them. Some of y'all thinking about that right now. I thought it'd help you out, okay? I had my suit on, my tie, okay? Anyway, we're out there. And I thought I was swimming, but Daddy was helping me. And he came to the place where we had to finally do it on our own. I never forget that day. On this lake up in West Virginia is a place that people would swim in the day. We wouldn't go swim with everybody else. So after we were done bass fishing, he'd row that boat over there, and we'd lift up them little old buoy things, that rope, and we'd run that boat underneath that in that swimming area at dark. And it wasn't very deep, 3 or 4 feet deep, wasn't over our head. And then the real test comes to see if we could swim. He said, get out of the boat. I said, sir. Three of us, me, Joe, and Tim, get out of the boat. All of you, get out now. We didn't know how deep it was. We didn't know nothing, but Daddy knew. And so he pushed us out of the boat. And we learned how to swim. That's a good way to do your kids. I make sure it's not too deep when you do that. I'm just saying, Brother Christian, would you help me here just a minute? I'm just saying sometimes it's like the Lord is helping us, like Joel swinging that bat and like Daddy hold me up when I was swimming. And sometimes it's like Daddy's right with us. And sometimes it's like the Lord just kind of just shoving us right along. It's God's hand. I felt like that in the ministry. Thank you. I felt like that in the ministry. Sometimes I'm wondering, where am I getting the strength to do this? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I'm not trying to be spooky right here, but I want you the hand of God. If you're doing the work of God by the word of God with the power of God, the hand of God's going to be there. daddy's hand. How many thank the Lord for daddy's hand tonight? I'm talking about the perception of what these folks see. The unseen hand. The young church did not depend on program and machinery, and thank God for every bit of it. The early church was relying on the unseen hand of God. And his pastor said it tonight. Didn't even know what I was going to preach on tonight. The pastor said, hey, we talked about all this construction. We talked about the Ten Commandments sign. We talked about the sign down here on the road. We talked about parking lot and all that. But he said, hey, what did we talk about first? We talked about soul winning first, didn't we? We talked about the work of God first. And that's the way it ought to be. And always keep it in that order. And thank God for that. You that have, you tonight that sit in these pews, you have the same power available to you right now. These men did not let persecution stop them. Most people quit serving the Lord when trouble rises. These men did not let strange surroundings and inconveniences stop them from preaching. They saw the need. And as your pastor said many times, see the need and take the lead. And these men had watched as one of their deacons, Stephen, was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. But they were stirred up about what the Lord had done in their lives. And thank God for men of God that do the work of God. I've been around your pastor long enough, and he's very confidential. I want you to understand that. But I've watched him, and I've watched the ups and downs and the tough times. But thank God you keep the plow down, doing the right thing for the glory of God. And I come to you tonight from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I want to tell you tonight, don't ever stop doing that. There's a lot of folks watching this church. The perception, not just the grace of God on the preachers, but the grace of God on the people. Not only did the Jews get saved, but a great number, I believe, of Gentiles were saved. This is the first time that this many Gentiles have been saved in one service. The Ethiopian eunuch had been saved, and Cornelius and his people had been saved in the book of Acts. But now a great number believe, possibly hundreds of converts. And this news made its way all the way back to Jerusalem, and they send Barnabas to come look for himself. And he says, glory to God. Everything we've been taught's working. It just wasn't working in just the hothouse of the Jerusalem church. It's working on the outside. And they tried to tell us, Peter tried to tell us that the Gentiles were getting saved. But we had a hard time. Matter of fact, in that business meeting, half of them got mad about it. But they're getting saved. Praise God, the Gentiles are getting saved. I'm glad I'm one of them. And the grace of God on the people, the lives of people had been changed. They saw that. Not just the grace of God in the people, but the grace of God in the place. The people had assembled here in Antioch, and the Bible describes, again, the scene is the hand of God. Been several days' travel for Barnabas to arrive at Antioch from Jerusalem. And the fire hadn't gone out. I believe it was William Booth that said this. He aligned all of Salvation Army general, I think is what he was. He's aligned all of his preachers up. He said, gentlemen, it is the nature of a fire to go out. Don't ever stop adding wood to the fire. And I want to tell you tonight, don't ever stop. The grace of God on that place. And he could still see the hand of God working when he got there. And verse 24 indicates that more believed after he got to town. And these Gentiles who were once wretched sinners had turned to the Lord. And Jews had turned from the law into grace. And those who had slew Messiah now believed in Messiah. And I'm telling you, you get in a service or a place where a bunch of sinners get things right with the Lord, there's something in the air. I'm not for milking services and trying to trump up something that's not there. You don't have to do it. I mean, I felt this morning when the man of God was preaching about humbling yourself like a child. Can I stop and say this? When God speaks to your heart in a service, first of all, to thank Him for it, that you're not cold and callous and you can still hear it. And secondly, I'll do something about it. And that message this morning helped all of us. And the grace of God in the place. Barnabas left there looking for Saul. If you read the rest of the passage, he said he finally found the guy. He looked everywhere, up and down the whole seaboard there of the Middle East, and found him. He said, you've got to see this place. You got, brother, you have, you think you're hot stuff, Paul. You haven't seen anything yet till you get to Antioch. And he got there. He said, we got to keep this thing going. And I know you don't know this preacher. And by the way, some have said, I don't want any of this to go to your head. We're talking to the church at Lancaster. Don't want all this to go to your head. But again, I'm outside the box. I'm inside the box telling you all what's going on out there. And don't tell anybody. But there's folks that it would indicate that, I guess every generation has a model church. A lot of folks looked at Spurgeon's church and Moody's church during his day, and we could start naming. And I don't know whether you are or whether you're not. I'm just telling you that a lot of folks are looking to you. You say, I wish it wasn't like that. I'm glad it's like that. I'd rather them look at you and look at me. But they do. And I want you to know something. Your pastor is very wise, and he is a very powerful person. But he didn't build his church. And he would never want you to think that. We hold our pastor in high esteem. We thank God for him. But I want you to know there's just no way man can do what's been done here in 24 years. No longer than I've been coming here, the famous stop sign picture is a pretty famous picture. Now, I remember the first time I drove out here, I thought, well, we've missed it somewhere. We're going out into the desert. No, he said, it's out here. See, look real hard. And the city moved this way. I'm just telling you, it's exciting. Pastor, here's what preachers say. You going to leadership conference? I went one. You got to go to leadership conference. You know what? That's okay. I like that. Some of you are here because somebody talked you into being here. You're going to have a time. If you can find a place to sit tomorrow, you're going to have a time. If not, you get a Snickers bar. I don't know where it's at. Somebody ate it. And here's my last thought, and I'm finished. The power of the grace of God. The power of the grace of God. Where the grace of God is found, there is gladness. And that's what he said here. Tidings came, and I got over there. He said, who when he came, in verse 23, and seeing the grace of God, was glad. He was glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. You know, I want to be a smiling Christian. I'm glad about things. I told preacher over lunch today, I said, man, I tell you, everything's a mess. The economy's a mess. You know, you get thinking about it, it's just pretty bad right now. The economy's a mess. Politics, whew, what about that? That's crazy. I'm not even going there tonight. Paganism. I don't. Fundamentalism. You know whose team you're on? I'm on Jesus' team last time I checked. But I mean, everything's just crazy out there. And every night you got to say, time out. Are you still saved? Going to heaven? Amen. Barnabas rolled into town. He said, woo! Well, son, look at this. People getting saved. Great numbers there, and they're happy about it. Hey, if you're saved, let your face snow it every now and then. I get up on a Sunday morning, I look at that crowd in Murfreesboro, and I said, hey, you been sucking mash out of a garden hose? What is the matter with you? And I want you to know, it encourages your preacher when you're glad. Take that frown, turn it upside down. I come out on Sunday morning, I come out of that prayer room door, I walk to my place on the platform, first people I look at that is that choir, and they're up there going, I look at them and I say, smile. Scares about it. Now, they can't see what I'm doing out there. But I tell you what, that choir greets the crowd. There's gladness there. The power of the grace of God. God is moving and God is working and His hand is on this place. You ought to be happy. happy about that. Where the grace of God is, not only is there gladness, where the grace of God is found, there is a glaring difference. The Bible says in verse 21, they turned unto the Lord. Do you know what that means? They turned unto the Lord. That means they gave up some things. That means in today's vernacular, they gave up smoking. They gave up the six-pack of beer. They gave up what they did on the weekends they got in the house of God. They gave up immodest dress. They gave up the cussing. They gave up the Hollywood tea. I'm talking about they turned unto the Lord. Which the last time I checked, he said, be ye holy for I am holy. The grace of God brings a glaring difference. They change their direction in life. It's a new path for them. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And today, everybody's talking about change, and people are trying to get the church to change, and preachers to change, and bring in their rock music, and lower their standards, and change their Bibles, and change their doctrine. Hey, here's a novel idea. How about us changing and being like Christ? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I mean, that's what Barnabas saw when he got to Antioch. He saw a bunch of heathen people. I want you to know that Antioch, the city they saved about 2,000 people, was full of perversion and full of adultery. And I can't even name in the mixed crowd some of the things that went on there in that town. But they saw revival and people turned to the Lord. Not only a glaring difference in gladness, but where the grace of God is found, there is glory to God. The focus was off man, and it was on God. And that, my friend, is what it's all about. Preacher said it this morning. And maybe it's Brother Rasmussen's class, one of you guys, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. These unnamed men got no glory on earth from winning this great number of people to Christ and starting this revival. The people were willing and anxious to submit themselves to learning about their newfound faith. I want to show you one thing and I'm finished. I was thinking about how they brought glory to God. And they went and he finally found Saul. If you read it all, Barnabas left out of there and said, got to find Saul. Got Saul, got him back there. And the Bible says that they both men connected themselves to the church for 1 year and discipled them and taught them the scriptures. Again, this church is known for a lot of things, but it's known for discipling their converts. Can I stop and just kind of put a little parentheses, those parentheses? Many of you that have been in fundamentalism very long, we have done a pretty good job at winning people to Christ, but we have not always done a very thorough job at discipling them. We just had this saying, bless God, get them in church on Sunday morning, we'll disciple them from the pulpit. And by the way, not a bad philosophy, I suppose, if you can get everybody to church. And a big if. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody would take the Bible and teach them Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, and how we ought to be in the house of God? Maybe somebody needs to teach them that. Benny Hinn's not going to teach it. I want to show you this one more thing, and I'm finished. He says to them, when he found them, he saw all these wonderful things he was glad about. He exhorted them all. He got them all together. He says, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, with purpose of heart, I want you to cleave to the Lord. If I could say anything to you as I close tonight, this is what I'd tell you. The membership of the Lancaster Baptist Church, you guest pastors that are here tonight, I would encourage you like Barnabas did when he looked at the people, he said, cleave to the Lord. What did he mean? We know that a husband shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In the Hebrew, that means to be glued together as a clevis, to cleave. When I was a boy growing up back in West Virginia, you have two big old log and chains, and you take two big log chains and you put them together with what's called a clevis. And you bring one chain in and the other chain, and you put this clevis and you drive a pin down through it where you could not set. That which was two becomes one. In the Hebrew, or in the Greek, it means about the same thing. It means we're supposed to, that which is two becomes one. To grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let go of Him. Now listen to me. You say, well, that's just kind of a spiritual thing. That's just something people say to make people feel good. The only way that you could apply that, if you were at the Antioch church, is you would have to believe that Jesus is real. Now, Jesus was not there in their midst. Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father when this was written. How do you cleave to the Lord when you don't have the flesh and bones here? It's as if He were here. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Speaking of Jesus. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Hold your Bible up. We can't see Jesus. We can read all about Him right there. Make that book precious to you. Learn about Him. Learn how He loved people. How He helped people. How He wanted to get people to come and live with Him. Learn what He meant when He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen now. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. And receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's the grace of God that's going to get us to where Jesus is right now. And He wants every one of you there. And it's the grace of God that will help us live for Him. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what we need to see. In our fundamental churches in America is we need to see and sense and feel the grace of God. By seeing a great number come to the Lord. By willing workers who will serve them and not serve the Lord and not worry about a name. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Barnabas saw the grace of God, and I just tried my best to get you to see a little bit of what he saw. But tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a question tonight. First, if I could implore you and say this, from the bottom of my heart, I come to tell you, please don't quit. And I hope what was said tonight will encourage you to do more than ever before, to reach for the sky. I want to tell you that Mike Norris has seen the grace of God in this place. I've seen the grace of God in my church. And I want to challenge you to make your way to this altar and say, Lord, please help us. This 24th, the close of this 24th anniversary and the dawn of the 25th. Oh God, may we see the grace of God in this 25th year. They're going to play something in just a moment. We're going to sing. But I'm going to ask you tonight, just find yourself a place here at this altar and come and say, Lord, help me be a part of that. Come on, see the grace of God. Maybe you're from out of town tonight and you came here and say, oh, I want to see in my church what Barnabas saw there when he got to Antioch. I'm telling you, the man could not believe his eyes. And I want you to know that what worked in Jerusalem and what worked in Antioch will work in your church. If you follow some of the same principles, get some gladness back in your church. See the glaring difference in your church. Get your church back to purpose and the glory of God.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.